blessed is the Lord, I'm greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful refrigeration, the joy of the Lord. In Mount Zion, at the side of the Lord, the city of the great King.
About the New Jerusalem, as we just finished singing about Mount Zion, and it's such a pity that many of the things we sing about we don't know what we're singing. Really and truly, God sits down and He hears us singing, and after we finish singing we go right against what we've just finished singing, and it seems we, like children, you know, we used to repeat the sound. Some songs you never learnt them, you only know it is a na na na, and you say the na 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 because you heard the other children singing words that you don't know, you didn't get the word, but you say it all the same. Praise God. In Revelation 22, and He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, one street, you see that? In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life. The tree of life was on two sides of the river, which bear 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree, were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no more night, no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Question: who is the light of the world?
Jesus
is the light of the world. Who has Jesus in this world? Right. We have Jesus in this world. So now, who is the light of the world now?
We are.
He said, ye are. He said, I am going away, but ye are the light of the world. So the people who have the light are the light of the world. All right. So therefore, He said, there won't be need of any sun in this city, because He said, the Lamb will be the light. And if the Lamb is in you, then you will be the several lamps that will be light in this world. And God is speaking spiritually, because man will walk in darkness until this light come forth in us. All right. We're here in the midst of the street of it. one street. This city has only one street. In spite of these people preaching about streets of gold, there is no such thing in the whole Bible. Somebody go against it now, please. Somebody said there is a Bible that talk about streets of gold. This Bible says nothing, absolutely nothing about streets of gold. It speaks of a street of gold. And this street of gold. But there is no street in this city, because God said there is a highway and a way. And no fool will err therein. There's only one way, and this one way is Jesus Christ. Amen. And this one street is the same street. They translated one place as a way, and translated another place as a street. And we who understand the language of the Spirit, when Jesus said, I am the one, the way, the truth, and the life. You could easily take out the word way and put, I am the street. I am the street. That's what Jesus said. And they said, men go around and talking about streets of gold. And they're going to walk on natural gold. Who wants natural gold for spiritual men to walk upon? Spiritual men don't want any natural gold. Now, if we're talking symbolically, then we had better begin to find out, where is this street? Where is this throne? Where is this? He said, and in the midst of the street of it, either side of it, the tree of life. Where is the life of God in this earth? In us. There is no life out there. That life that you see out there, the Bible tells me that every piece of life, every moving thing, every living organism, every tree, every dog, every cat, every cow, everything that is moving out there is waiting upon the sons of God to activate them into true life. Your Bible say that? Let's find it before we blame us. You know, because once you turn from here and you go on somebody, say, brother, do you say so? And certain people preaching this, but the Bible said it. You can't take God's word and kill God's children. You can't take God's word as a stone to try any of God's children. Because the Bible says you mustn't seed you mustn't seed the kid in his mother's milk. And our mother's milk is the word of God. Yeah. So mind how you fry God's people with God's word. Because it's coming right back into your own bosom. It is very hot. Romans 8. Romans 8. In spite of your preaching, say, Jesus Christ is coming here to redeem you. In spite of all that the people are dealing on and saying Jesus is coming here to set us free, it's not true. Jesus has already redeemed us. Jesus has already set us free. If there's any more set us free, it's going to have to come from the Jesus that you have already received. It's not another Jesus. Some people expect it. Oh, when Jesus will work till Jesus come, we'll work. Till Jesus come, we'll work. I want you to know that the Jesus you receive is already come. And if that Jesus can't set you free, then let me tell you something. It's got to be something wrong with you. Yes. Life. You know, how you're going to get set free again? You better take what God gives now and start believing it. You have to start believing what God gives now. Because Romans 8 and verse 19 says, when verse 18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. And I'm talking to people who know what suffering is, who know what hunger is. Yes, and well, for the little persecution, they're not touching your head, really. Oh, they haven't started touching you yet. You see.
No wonder.
For the earnest expectation of the creature, we mean all creature beings. You know what I'm talking about? People and things that live under the natural system, natural life order. You could take out the word, you know, creature, and put all natural living things waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. That means that the sons of God are coming forth with a higher life to liberate them from the bondage of corrupted life. Because everything that you see out here, brother, with your eyes, is corruptible, can rotten and stink and, you know, get bad on you. And this is what we're talking about. Anything that can rot, change its form, burn with fire, that is creature life mentioned in here. That's what it means, that creature here, right? And he said they're subject to vanity, not willingly. Verse 19 said the creature waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That means the sons of God have not really manifested their full sonship yet. You are with me?
Yes.
So if anybody going around boasting that they are manifested sons, you could easily ask them to read with you this chapter. For if Paul said it verily well, if you are perfect, he said, I'm glad to hear, because that means I'm all right. You know, he'll soon come through. Because anytime one of you come through, we are going to know. That's what we're waiting for. Right? Come on with me, brethren. I want you to be with me.
What's the manifestation?
Yes, we are all waiting for the manifestation. So if you come and say you are already perfect, we say praise God, because that's what we're waiting for. Now help me out. Get me out of this carnal thing that is holding me down. This flesh and blood and eating and sleeping and dying and getting sick and all like that. I mean, you get perfect and praise God. Somebody got it. Because if you get it, that's what I've been waiting for. For the first man that gets it is going to speak the word and set the whole creation. You see? So, this is what God is saying. Because as the first fruit company, as they come forth, they will be on the job setting the rest of people free. And immediately they come forth, war cease, destruction stop, nobody kill any more body. Amen. You see? So we are waiting. Look at what's going on in the world. Vietnam. People shooting right now. Gunmen are roaming the country, shooting people, killing them, you see. They are under bondage, man. It's a corruption bondage. Whereas if you had come through in perfection, you would go look for the gunmen and say, son, you can't kill me, you know. Mm-hmm. Yes, thy sins be forgiven thee, drop your gun. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
See, God, the first thing that the sons of God will do as they come forth, they're going to burn all weapons, turn them into plowshares. The Bible said fire will be through the whole earth. It said the earth, carnal man, carnal things, earthiness, sinfulness will burn with fervent heat, leaving neither root nor branch of sin. You think his righteousness God going to burn?
No.
At the first act of the sons of God, as they come forth, they'll burn up all the weapons. No man kill another man. Sons of God will stop you right there.
Will it be a symbolic burning?
No, brother, it's going to be natural burning. You see, in other words, the things that have been made, invented of man for destruction, God's going to burn them up. Just like Elijah burnt up those men with their weapons. they are going to be, the things are going to be burnt, and every human being who can be saved will be saved. The Bible said everyone whose names are written in the book at that time will be saved. Amen. Now, isn't that something to rejoice over, brethren?
Yes.
My God! Look at what's happening. This is what we're praying for. Now, this is why people like you must get down to business with God, get down on your knees, and stop playing church. Stop playing church. I don't have any time to play church. Really, honestly. I don't fool around people with their church thing. Tomorrow morning when they're all trotting off to church, which is Sunday morning, when they're all trotting off to church, I stay home. Yes. I stay home and commune with my God. I don't have any time to waste. Because if you're going to a building to keep service, and it is not absolute worship to God, and you are worshiping on that system wherein it is a vainglory thing, I don't have any time to waste with you. I mean, I'd love you to question me on the point, you know, because upon this point I bear more persecution than on other points. But if God show me a thing and tell me a thing, I make no bones about it. You persecute me, I can go into your Babylonian church and preach and tell them the truth. You see. But the truth is that the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain and waiting for the coming forth of the sons of God. And if I'm a minister who is called of God continues in a Babylonian system, he is, a disobedient Babylonian. Yes, sir. Look at the word Babylon. When I mean said Babylon, I mean disobedient. And if you tell him, as some people have thought it their duty to go and tell certain ministers that I said he is Babylonian. If you tell him, I would be happy to meet the man. Happy to meet him with the Bible and the Word of God and his Greek text. You know, to show him in the Greek where he is Babylonian. You follow what I mean? Because it's not a matter that I'm preaching against him. I'm preaching for him. I want to get him out of Babylon. I want him to get so vexed that he decides to search up and to pray to find out from God. Amen. I tell you something. God called me to preach to God. If I turn around now and go and run for election, there are two things that must happen first before I do that. I have to stop preaching. God, preaching is a full-time thing given to me of God. God called me. And after God called me, God sent me to school. Yes, sir. Jesus put his finger in my face one day and said, if you go to Bible school, then I am no longer your teacher. You reject me as your teacher. So that means I was in school.
Yeah.
And Jesus took me to school. And after he passed me out, many bounces and blows and bruises, I came out. He told me one day, he said, one of these days I'm going to send you to the United States with a message. And that's about 10, 15 years before. Now wait. Couldn't see anything working. Said, let me build up my little farm and put two things together. He came to me and said, remember a long time ago I told you that I would send you with a message to the United States. I said, yes, Lord. He said, well, it's now. I said, God, but my chickens and my pigs. And he said, yes. Chickens, he said, pigs, sheep. I didn't say anything about sheep, but he said sheep. And I said, okay, God, sheep. And I dropped everything and left. Dropped everything and left. I want you to know that if you're working with God, you're working with God. If you're working with the church, you're working with the church. If you're working with the country, the state, you're working with the state, but you can't take two full-time work at the same time. You're either going to hate the one and love the other, or love the one and hate the other. I got in trouble with God. I got in trouble for 8 years. Yes. I couldn't find any headway. God told me certain things, I couldn't reconcile them. couldn't reconcile them, struggle with them, couldn't reconcile them, try to put them into operation, they couldn't work. And I said, well, all right, God, I couldn't be the only right man around here. I'm going to go join up a church. So I went and submitted myself under a bishop and joined the church. And became a minister for them. And the whip was on my back for 8 long years. You tell anybody, I tell them so. That the whip was on my back for 8 long years. And when I was whipped till one day I walked down the street with a big hole in the bottom of my shoes and the asphalt burning me through my shoes, and I could do better in the world because I could turn my hand around here and pick up a job for a few $100,000, and I wouldn't do it, sticking to my gun. Everywhere I turn, spiritual blessing, people falling down, being blessed, healed. I turn around, there not a cent in the offering plate. And my prosperity was taken away. And I couldn't understand it. And I was overwrought one day. And I went to God. I said, my God, why have you done me this? God been there sitting down waiting on me 8 years to come and ask him that question. You think he doesn't have patience? Sat down, waited on me 8 years to ask him the one question, why have you brutalized me like this? And when I finally broached the question to God, he said, no, tell me this. He said, if you were a soldier in the army working for the country, tell me all that you think they would do for you. I said, as a matter of fact, God, they would give me clothes. They would give me food. I'd have boots on my feet. He said, my wife would get an allowance. My children would get money that enough that they could go to school. I said, I would not be in this condition. He said, then tell me now, do you think your government is more righteous than your God? I said, I don't have to think, God. I said, the government is not righteous at all. You see? All right. God said, then, you know why this is happening to you? I said, yes. No, Lord, I want to know. He said, I think, well, I must have been talking to God. You hear me? No, it was no question in my mind that the person who was talking with me was God. For he shocked me. I couldn't have got that out of my own mind. He shocked me. He said, you're not working with me. You're working with the church. I said, what? Then the church not God. And they believe they're the highest church in the world. Speaking in tongues and getting miracles. And I said, what God? The church not God. And then I begin to realize all the things that I saw them doing in the name of the church. And I realized that there was more unrighteousness there than righteousness. And I said, my God. I said, then God, what must I do now from this point? God said, you know.
Couldn't tell me.
Say, you know. My God, I turned around, man, and I was so beaten that before I think it out, you know, and before I think and water down the argument and do the wrong, I rushed right in, grabbed my pen, wrote my resignation and sent it off to the bishop. Okay. And sister and brother, I want you to believe me. That day I had no money. The day after I had no money. And from the third day, miracles started happening. And I didn't have to go and take a job. Because all when I was working with the church, I had to be teaching school and doing this and that and the other. And fighting, struggling, night and day. Man, you want to see us rushing down to school in the morning, you thought it was an airplane. Getting to Montego Bay to school in the morning, working, getting up, back and working till 2-3 o'clock at night, building house and trying to do everything at the same time. And brethren, from the day that I made that argument with God, an agreement, I went home. I didn't have any church that turned me out of the church and the house and give up everything same time. I didn't have a house to live in. We took some pieces of zinc and thing and backed it up and went into the old foundation you see up at Maxfield. And God Almighty intervened in a marvelous, mysterious miracle. The first miracle happened. I see 15 men walking up the road, coming up the road, and that's not supposed to be there because the place is just my house up there. Nobody else lives up there. And when the 15 men came up, I noticed that they all had their tools, shovels, picks, saws, hammers, mason tools, and everything. I said, where are you going? They said, brother, this is, we hear that you're going to build a house, and if you're going to build a house, we are on the job. I said, boys, you make a sad mistake. I said, I have no money. I don't have a cent to build a house. Said, brother Dusil, we know that if you want a house, God's going to give you a house. So we are here on spot. We want the job. And there was nothing I could do to get them out of that place. They settled down. The man gave orders to his men to settle down and start cleaning up the place, light fire and everything. I don't even have lunch. I said, well, brother, if it's God, send you, I'll soon find out. So I walked out the town, went out into the town, and I say, went into a certain business place, and everybody gave this man a bad name. They said he's the worst man in town. I went into this business place. I saw the man standing up looking. He said, now what do you want today? What's on your mind? I said, material to build my house. That's what's on my mind. He said, you have a title? I said, no, I don't have a title, but it's in the office, in the government office. I'll get a title someday. He said, well, you can get all the goods you want. He said, just sign on this line here. I signed on the line. He said, go down there and tell, order all the goods you want. It'll be up there by evening. I went and I ordered all that I could think of. And then I went over to the shop where they sell groceries now.
Food now.
I said, well, if God is on this job, then the men must have food to eat. So I went over to one of the people there and I said, I want food to feed 15 men. And I want it to credit. I have no money. I said, well, just go and take all that you want. And I didn't sign anything. Take the food and we open an account with you and so on. And brethren, the men work from Monday. I didn't plan to tell you this, but I might as well tell you it might be a blessing to somebody who needs this sort of blessing.
Amen.
Of faith working in a desert land. And I went up back with the food and the men, so the same thing I told you. But it was their faith that activated my faith. Because they had faith in me that if I pray, I'll get the thing. And so I did. And then the truck rolled up and landed the thing on the blocks and everything started running around there.
Same day?
Yes, sir. And the men jumped over and started to work. And we, it worked until Friday. Friday was payday. I never thought about anything until Friday came. Friday morning, like somebody comes and says, well, you're not going to get the money for pay bill. I said, well, pay bill. So again I walk out the town and I was like a man lost because so I heard somebody said, hello there, what's on your mind today? I look around, I saw the bank manager. I said, so many pounds. That's what's on my mind today. He laughed. I said, I want this money to go and pay my bills. And that is what's on my mind. And as a matter of fact, a bank is the right place to come. The man laughed. He said, well, you can get any amount from the bank while you have you know, the collateral, the thing to back it up, like a title or something. I said, well, the title will soon be here. But what I need is so much X amount of money today, and so on. And to cut a long story short, the man said, okay. He said, I won't give you so much, I'll give you so much. And the amount the man gave me was the exact amount for the pay bill. I was asking for a little more. So the Lord had already gone ahead of him and told the man how much he gave me, and he gave me, and I went down and paid the bill, and those men really shout hallelujah and sing praises to God. And in 2 weeks, the place you see at Maxfield was up there on the roof. See, and I am saying that I really deviated from topic. The whole creation is groaning and waiting for the sons of God to come forth. And we are like dunces who hardly learn in our lesson. And brethren, oh, that God would intervene. Oh, that God would quicken that dormant mind of yours that is thinking of one and one making two and earthly things, looking at the impossible earthly things and say, oh, that is impossible, instead of saying, all things are possible with my God. Hallelujah. And when you put your hand to this and it doesn't work, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. We went down to the bank today and we were late. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Immediately I see a new light. I see something else working, that God didn't want us to go that way. But he closed one door, and there is the other door there that you need to go. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So praise be to God Almighty for children who have eyes to see and who believe in their God. What's wrong with us, brethren, is that we don't believe in God. Talk nonsense. I am a wretched person, and if my wife don't believe in me, I really, really honestly feel bad. If I find that she don't trust me, I feel funny, and I would be distressed. And when you look from the human element and look to God and say, my God, how little we trust you. We ask you for something, and as we see a little rain start fall and something comes, we say, oh, same thing I tell you. The woman prayed and said, oh God, she said, let this mountain be moved. Your Bible said that if we pray against the mountain, it will be moved. So I don't want this mountain before my window anymore. Move the mountain. And next morning she wake up, throw the window open, and the mountain was sitting same place there. I said, I know it wouldn't move. She didn't believe, then why did she pray? Such a prayer should never have been made. Such a thought should never even come to her for the mountain to move. If she knew it wasn't going to be. Yeah, but she shouldn't pray. She knew the mountain wasn't going to move, so it shouldn't pray. It's when you know it's going to move, then you pray. See my point? The point is, brethren, if you are children of your Father, your Father's heart is going to sound in you. Amen?
Yeah.
And therefore the things that your heart gives you to ask for are the very things that Father put in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't be going around asking for things against your Father. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise God. So, I was saying that all created life, all things that function after the carnal order of corruption, wages of sin is death, under that law, they are waiting for the sons of God to come forth. And then it went on to say, we too are waiting, we ourselves, you see, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of the body. So it is the physical, it's the physical deliverance that humanity and the world is waiting for. Amen. Now, We go back to Revelation, because that's where we started. We go back to Revelation 21 now. Not 22 now, 21 now. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Come on now. What are we talking about, heaven passing away? Will you ever hear heaven pass away? Look, hold that, and turn your Bibles back to Peter. Brother Peter said it, that they're going to pass away with a great noise.
Peter.
Yes, it's 1 Peter 3. Brother Peter did say it. You see? Oh, where is it now? Am I in the right chapter? No, it's 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burnt. Come on now. What is going to burn? First of all, heaven will pass away. What kind of heaven is there that can pass away? Do you think it's the stars that could mean? Why you don't think it's the stars that are going to burn up and pass away? Because of Psalm. Turn your Bible quick with me. Let me see if you can find Bible. Psalm 104. Psalm 104 is against that thought. You see what I mean? It's against that thought. Let me get it here. It's number 4. Psalm 104, verse 4. Who maketh his angel spirits, his ministers of flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Well, this says the earth shouldn't remove forever. Of course, there is a scripture which says the heavens will remain, abided forever. If this earth here means also the earth and the heaven, look at Ecclesiastes 1 and 4. Ecclesiastes 1 and 4. You read it, find it, read it. One generation pass it away, yes?
And another generation
cometh, for the earth abideth forever. Amen. Praise God. Well, these all show that the earth abideth forever. But I can assure you that there are scriptures which show too that the heavens are forever. Now, let me hear something from you. If here we see that the heavens going to burn up, it must be a corruptible heaven. Because there is a heaven where there is no sorrow or sighing, no night, no trouble, no pain, no sin, no devil. Amen. And if there's another heaven where there is a devil, because in Revelation chapter 12 we are told that the woman was in heaven and the devil was also in heaven, and he was waiting for a man child to be born, he said there was a wonder in heaven. Well, this kind of heaven that have devil, that have woman, that have pain and crying and suffering, it must pass away, because we don't want this to continue forever. So what is the heaven? The word heaven here speaks of the dwelling place of God, and your heart is God's heaven. Your heart is God's throne. And this is the heaven that is that although it is occupied by God, the devil is still there. And carnality is there, and pain is still there, and suffering is still there. Yet it is God's heaven. God made you for his holy habitation. Isn't that what the Bible says? Yes. God said, and I shall walk in them, and I shall talk in them, and they shall be my people, and I shall be their God. Hallelujah. And yet, the devil is there occupying. So, this has to go. And the Bible says it's going to pass away with a great noise. read again here what John saw. And for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Now the first spiritual man, the habitation of God, and the earth man out there, who is called earth, this situation is going to pass away, so a new situation will come in. He said, because this one, watch, let's read why. And there was no more sea. Oh, well, I was thinking of another scripture which says, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And that's round back in Brother Peter. I don't want to turn back there, but it is 2 Peter 3, and starting from verse 10. And he said, the first one burn up, because there is going to be now a heaven and an earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So that means the first heaven and the first earth there didn't have righteousness. So your carnal body is going to be completely filled with the glory of God. This is why Brother Paul, in 8th chapter of Romans, tell us that this situation is going to be changed when the sons of God come forth, so that the very body, the redemption, will come. You understand? Redemption is coming to this body. What redemption do you want in your body, sister? Suppose God gives you a choice now to choose of a redemption in your, what would you tell him you want for your body? You don't want to die. Isn't that right? This, you want such a quickening though that stops you from dying. You want to live forever. So this body would be immediately changed to an immortal body. But you don't want to live forever and the condition still is the same way around here. You want to live forever without sin. And you don't want any sin out there either. Amen. You follow what I mean? Yeah. So this thing is in you. Hallelujah. That's what I'm showing you. This thought, this whole thing is in the Christ that is in you, and this is really what you want. And God said, what manner of men should you be? What manner of men should you be? You shouldn't have any cold. You shouldn't have any sickness in your body. You should be completely liberated. Hallelujah! Isn't this what we want? This is the glory that God is talking about. The comfort in human vessels. And we mustn't look at it as a far off. Look, our brother Abraham. Turn your Bible with me to Hebrews. He saw the promises where? Afar off. Oh, brother. He saw the promises afar off. Hebrews 11, 13. Oh, let's read a little higher up there. But 9. By faith. Eh? He didn't see it, you know. He just had to have faith for it. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. In a strange country. Brother, are you in a strange country? You have no right to be. You're supposed to be feeding upon the big grapes and the honey and you're supposed to be fat in the spirit because you are in the land of promise. Whereas Abraham sat afar off, you have it. Hear this. He said here now. It was a sad picture though, eh? Look at it. the land belonged to him, you know. Yet, as in a strange country, dwelling in tents. Verse 9. Chapter 11, verse 9. Dwelling in tabernacles, the tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city. He wasn't satisfied. Brother Abraham was not satisfied. He looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Amen.
Bless his holy name.
Hallelujah.
Verse 30. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Where did he see them? He saw them in 1974. Hallelujah! What a distance! Look, let's check on Brother Abraham here. Let us check on Brother Abraham here. 4,000 years. He saw them afar off. Eh? What a distance! What a distance! Eh? Far off. Oh, blessed be Brother Abraham. Okay, let us say 4,000 years. He saw them afar off. And what else now? And although they were so far, what did they do to him? Were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed it. Brother, get up, confess your healing, thank Jesus for it, go to your bed, wake up healthy and strong, shout the hallelujah, shout, kick your foot and move off in the name of Jesus. Because Brother Abraham saw them in 1974, but you have them. You don't need to have hope and have faith for the promises of God, you have them. Glory to God, the very spirit inside of you, moving, walking, talking, is the promise that poor Brother Abraham saw way down yonder in the corridors of time and hope for. Hallelujah! But what a man! What a man, brother! He embraced.
Look, oh, come on, baby.
They were afar off, yet he had such a faith that he could pull them to his bosom.
Abraham brought them nigh unto himself.
Amen. By the faith that he had in his God. Amen. Who cannot fail.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Oh, hallelujah.
He confessed them that they were strangers and pilgrim on the earth. They weren't carnal men. Amen. You know the passage that blessed me most. I'll soon read it for you. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. Hallelujah.
And heaven.
That is unheavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise be to God.
Now, the thing makes me want to shout, man.
Hallelujah.
When I think of people 4,000 years before the promises, 2,000 years before the promises, could look down yonder and take them and embrace them to their bosom, while all the heathen around were running up and down, and Brother Lot fighting him for grass, take his herdmen and drive off his cattle off the land and drive him into the back part of the country and take away all the good grass. And Abraham embraced promises 4,000 years down the hill and rejoicing over promises when his cattle will run off the grassland.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, glory to God in the highest.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
My God.
And this is the part that blessed me most. This is the part that really blessed my soul. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. Glory to God. Now, 2,000 years after, you turn your Bibles down to another brother.
But
they sent him, they put him in a pot of boiling oil. Cook him. Cook him in a pot of oil. And when the devils opened the pot to go and see melted flesh in the pot, the man got up, stand up in the pot. And praise God.
Amen.
I believe every Roman soldier there was quickened in his body, and even now they were so frightened. The Herod said, "Take him away. Put him in an island. Put him away." They put him out in a desert island where there was no food, no water, and out there he should die. And God said, "This is where I wanted you, in a quiet place, away from those sinners. Let us talk together." And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city. Isn't that the one that God promised Abraham?
The holy city.
Yes, he said, "I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Kabalanda shatarabayanda rabashana. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold," boy, I just love to translate this like how I got it. "Behold, God has tabernacled himself within man."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
You know why? I love that translation. Because the New Jerusalem is what we are. You want me to prove it to you very, very simply? Who is the bride? Who is the bride? Sure. Sure. So we are the New Jerusalem. But John had to get that very, very straight, you know, because the angel brought him down and explained it to him again. Down in here, no, it's the same chapter 21. Run your eye right now, verse 9. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Come on now. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." Who is the New Jerusalem? The bride. Who is the bride?
Yeah.
We are the bride.
Yeah.
The bride of Christ. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I can show you several scriptures saying we are the bride of Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of which one to show first. Amen. Praise God. Now, turn your Bibles around to... let's look at a simple one. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Yes. Verse 4. But the wise virgins took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil. There's a marriage we're talking about here now. Good. Now, let's go again. You turn back to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. Look, you just read a while ago that the glory of God was in her, right? And the light was her glory. And here you have now the glory of God, the light of the sun, being the clothes. The clothes, our garment, was made out of sunlight. Meaning to say God had at last given this church his glory. Because surely this woman is a church. Clothed with the sun, the moon, the whole other church under her foot, under her feet. And upon her head, a crown of 12 stars, the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The power that she had was the apostolic power. Amen.
Amen.
But you said, Brother DeSil, how can I be sure that this is what it is talking about, you know? A woman clothed with the sun. Turn to the 17th chapter of John's Gospel and let us see who has the glory, because it's coming right down. The Bible explains itself, you know. Did you know that?
Yeah.
In verse 5, 17th chapter of John's Gospel, verse 5 says, And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which you and I had before the world was. You get that one?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Now look at verse 22. What verse 22
says?
So who is it that has that glory now? Quite, it's the church. So the church that God was starting, we see the church split in Matthew chapter 25. Some were wise and some were foolish. Hallelujah. So we see some became bride and some weren't in the bride class at all. Then we turn around Revelation again and we saw this church that came through with the glory on her. And God said, this is the bride coming down from God out of heaven. We turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and here we see again a reference to Jerusalem and something else. Now we see the thing split up now in 8 parts. Are you with me tonight? Are you sharp? Are you ready? Come on. Now, Hebrews 12. And he was discussing here the glory that Moses had in his ministration. And he said, but, you know, that's nothing to what we have. He said that glory that Moses had, that fire burning up on the mountain and the mountain quaking and the terrible presence of God. He said that's nothing to what we have now. Verse 22. But we are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Isn't that the same one that Brother Abraham wanted and saw in his faith? And to an innumerable company of angels. Hi, if you have an entourage, a king, you must have attendance. Amen. And so we see a Zion company, we see a Jerusalem company here, and we see angels attending them, and then the general assembly of the church of the firstborn. I mean, there is another set of people here who they are just a general Christian, the rest of Christians, you see. You have a Zion company, you have a Jerusalem company, and then you have the rest of the Christians, which are written in heaven. That is, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. To God, God himself is in it now, and the spirits of just men made perfect. So it is not that we who are alive are going to be better than those who are gone on, but God is saying that they are a part of the church too. You see? And Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling, the life that we have in us, carrying us on, the blood of sprinkling. Praise God. Which is better than that of Abel. Praise his holy name. So, we're talking about the New Jerusalem. And brethren, we have not gone into it. But when I see people start, you know, getting weary, I cut.
No, when you don't want to get to
you have to sit down and listen.
Amen. Now, all right, let's just look at the Revelation 21, and we want to find out really if this is a carnal natural city with streets of gold, you know, because gold is the nature of God in the symbolic meaning. Pardon me. And if the nature of God begin to reach out from me to you, then it is a way that I'm opening for you to get into deeper into God. So I could become a street, and you is a street for somebody else that looking to you to find some life and some deliverance from you.
Right.
You see, you're walking down, you are in darkness, you are in trouble, you have no hope, and all of a sudden somebody comes and says, Jesus lives, Jesus saves. And all of a sudden the person become a street to you, a way wherein you might walk into life and into light. Hallelujah. So if Jesus is the way, we are also the way. As we walk in the Lord. You see. So as you take on the attributes of Christ, you become the way for some poor struggling soul. This is why the people out there, they have no hope but you.
Right.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
Somebody said, but brother, this is, Jesus is their hope. Surely Jesus is their hope. But is you going to show Jesus to them?
Mm-hmm.
Because they are so far away from Jesus that they don't want even to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't see you, and if they can't see any Jesus in you, they're lost.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So here we are. Back on Revelation 21. And we see some things here. We read a while ago as far as verse 11, which having the glory of God, and her light was light unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So that would suggest that it looked like a diamond, because it was flashing light, you see. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, at the gate 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now here we are, we speak of the 12 apostles. We speak of the 12 apostles, and there are gates. I just spoke to you and
right.
said, you are a way. You are a way to lead people into life. And each of us is a way and a gate. And God divides us up into 12 areas of life to bring the people in. So that all the carnality and all the flesh, a man can never be too carnal or in such a corner. I want you to hear this very carefully. A man can never be too carnal or in such a corner, a carnal corner, that there isn't a gate turning his way. Follow what I mean?
Yes.
All the problems you have, Brother Colin, all the murder that has been on your body and on your soul from you were a youth coming up to this hour, it has been preparing you so that you might be a gate for a man who otherwise would have no hope. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You know, Jesus Christ, it blesses me. You know, I shouldn't sit and talk. I should stand up and really shout, because sometimes I feel a surge of the Spirit in me so much. Jesus Christ was walking one day in the red light district. He deliberately walked down there because there was a job he wanted to do. His heart was crying out to a woman's heart in that district, who, if she just got a chance, she would serve God with all her heart. But she was one of a very bad profession. And she got in trouble with some men. And you can just imagine how those wicked men, they were going to use the law to kill her because they were mad at her. And we don't know what she did then. And the Bible never said, but you know what kind of business that men and women can have down in the red light district. And they wanted to stone her and to kill her under the pretext to show your men wicked. They wanted to use the Bible to kill her, you know. And they took up stone and drew her out there to go stone her to make it look legal. Jesus was right there. He was right on spot. And the pause. They wanted now to kill two birds with the same stone. So they turned to him now, tempting him, the Bible says, to hear what he would say. No, Master, we caught this woman in adultery. What must we do to her? They want him to say, kill her. So he looked at all of them. And he didn't say anything. He bent down on the ground and began to write. So they wanted to see what he was writing. And as they drew nearer and looked at what he was writing, I don't know whether he read what he wrote on the ground or he said it out of his own heart, but he said, the one of you who didn't commit adultery, you throw the first stone. And all of a sudden, somebody remembered that he had left his pot on the fire, and he ran off. And somebody else made another excuse and took off, and another one. And he wasn't looking at them because he knew they were ashamed. So he had his head down. And when he knew that all was gone, he said, wait, what happened to the case they had against you? where are the, you know, you are the defendant here. Where are the accusers? And he said, well, if you have no accuser, I won't condemn you either. There's no case against you. He said, but look, he said, go, you are free. Discharge, but remember, don't go back to that sin. For else a worse thing will come upon thee. Blessed be to God Almighty. She didn't go anywhere. She followed him. And that was Mary Magdalene, one of the most faithful human beings that God ever made. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 That day, she saw the gate open wide. You didn't have to preach to her to tell her that Jesus is the way. Amen. You know, some of us preach a thing before we do it. Every time Jesus is going to preach something, he do it first. He demonstrated, then he preaches. I am the way. You go down the street and bawl out, I am the way. If you don't mind sharpening salt spring, they would stone you, although they are not Jews.
Yes.
You go out to salt spring there and tell anybody, I am the way. You will be totally out of order. You better lead them into some life first, to tell them afterwards. Yes. You see, the point is God is making us the way. He said, greater works shall ye do than these, for I go to my Father. He's making us into the way. And the more we comfort in Jesus Christ, the day will come, brother, when men won't see you, they will see Jesus. And when they gnash their teeth at you, and when they rush at you with scorn and derision, it will be Jesus they are rushing at. They won't even see you. They will be hating Jesus and trying to kill him again. And this is where the end time God has promised to endure us with power from on high. Amen. Hey! Amen. Amen. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven.
Hallelujah.
What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Practice upon your own sins. That's what you must do. Any sin that bother you, trouble you, bind it. Loose yourselves.
Yes.
Bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. Come forth. Read the scriptures together. Let it be known that everybody believe what we are reading in the Bible. Hallelujah. After we all read it, let us arise and bind this devil that is holding my sister. And bind this devil that is holding my brother. I loose my brother in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be loose.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
When you are loose, amen. When you are loose,
hallelujah.
Salt Spring will know it.
Amen.
No more problem. They will know. You don't have to go around telling anybody, but they'll know. Because a loose man is let go in the tongue. Amen. People freed. People freed to love.
Hallelujah.
You know.
Glory.
A while ago, I was talking to a man. Poor man, I saw his brow knitted up. Is you can see the pressure of the devil on him. And he wanted me to tell him that he was right and his wife was wrong. I said, brother, your right wife is wrong. And it didn't take a man with any vision to see that your wife is wrong. He said, but you are wrong also. For if your wife is wrong, and your wife is a part of you, and with love you can't reach out to her, but you are blazing with hate, she don't talk to me and I won't talk to her, then it seems to me that, brother, you are a little bit wrong there too. For God said in his word, he said, if you find out that your brother has art against you, you must go and find the brother. I said, you want help, brother? You need help. You can't help that woman because you want help yourself. If she's taken by a devil spirit and she's doing all kind of wrong things and departing from God, this is the very reason why you should be holding on to God. And this is what beats me with a lot of the church set up, because they only jump and shout when things are all right. When things start get dark, brother, they cast you out of the synagogue.
Yes.
They can't do nothing else for you but cast you out.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Brethren, the only way you are going to show your power and the only way that the devil is going to believe you is when you cast him out.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I saw the new Jerusalem coming down. Hallelujah! 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 Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah!
Send it.
Thank
you, Lord.
Thank
you. Oh,
glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank Hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory.
Jesus Christ sent his disciples out to cast out devils. And when they came back, the Bible said he rejoiced greatly in spirit. And I believe he shouted and he jumped and he danced.
Yes.
And he said, thank you, God. Thank you, Father. And he said, I see Satan like lightning fall from heaven. His God's dwelling place that he was occupying, men went and cast him out of it. And Jesus just laughed. He said, I see him fall from heaven like lightning. And the greatest work on earth, the greatest work on earth, nothing else is worthwhile, is to set humanity free from devil work and devil possession and devil oppression. And the first humanity you must start work on is yourself.
Because
you're not setting anybody else free unless you can get deliverance from your gospel. Your gospel is worth being leaving your house. Your gospel can't leave your house to go out the street to set other people free if you can't have it working in your heart.
Hallelujah.
Daniel, God, surely will deliver. Daniel, God, surely will deliver. If you only look to him by faith, Daniel, God, surely will deliver. Daniel,
God, you surely will deliver. Daniel, God, surely will deliver.
If you only look to him by faith, Daniel, God.
Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exhort in dance together. I saw the Lord and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. And bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mind. My soul shall make a bond in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear their arm and be glad. Together. I saw the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears.
I
will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I saw the Lord and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears.
Let's go to 27. Go back.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Praise God.
Praise Him.
Hallelujah. Nobody.
Praise Him.
Hallelujah. So which one you wanted now? Oh, so friend glorify at me. Oh, so friend glorify at me. I'm doing that part conversation arise, will I show the salvation of God? Who shall break bread, glorify and see? Who shall break bread, glorify and see? And doing that moderate this conversation arise, will I show that salvation of God? Whoso offereth bread, glorify me. Whoso offereth bread, glorify me. And doing that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show that salvation of God?
Thank you.
Hallelujah.